Well, let me introduce you. This is Mr. Milos Scholz. He's here this morning to bring a little report on his work and then preach from the Word of God. Milos is ministering. He's our missionary in the Czech Republic. He was here 3 years ago, not in our church. He was in Newton Abbey and some of our other churches. But thankfully, he was able to come over for a week of prayer, and we've been able to fellowship with him all week. He's staying in Lorne for a few days, leaving tomorrow morning. But I thought when he was here, we'll get him to come and bring a word from the Lord and present his work to you.
It is my privilege, great privilege, to be here in Northern Ireland, and specifically in your congregation. You might wonder where I learned to speak English. I come from a Baptist background. My father was a Baptist minister. And in 1981, he was called to a church in Canada, an ethnic ministry. It was called the Czechoslovak Baptist Church. And they were looking for a Czech-speaking pastor. And so in 1981, our family moved to Canada from Czechoslovakia. And so I spent most of my life in Canada. I grew up in Canada. And the Lord, in His providence, brought me to the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church through the school ministry. I was a teacher, and I was hired by the school in 1997. And as I came to the church, the Lord really used that school ministry to introduce me to the Free Presbyterian Church. We were coming from Eastern Europe. We were naturally very conservative. The Lord protected us from many of the inroads of modernism and liberalism and just the worldliness that came into churches simply because of the persecution of the church during communism. So the Lord really kept His church pure in that sense, but the church was doctrinally weak, and any of the contacts that we did have in the West were compromised, and there were very compromised associations. So the Lord, when I came to the Free Presbyterian Church, to the school, and was introduced to the church, to the denomination, I started to recognize that this was a denomination that stood for things that I truly believed in my heart, and I could see all around me in the churches, and even in our own church, many issues that were not right. And so the Lord, in His own time, a few years of being in the school, brought us out of our home church and home denomination, which was a very difficult thing because we were very closely bound to that denomination, so much so that my father was a Baptist president, the president of the Baptist Union in the Czech Republic, and my grandfather was in that same position in the 1950s. So they were men who were in the very high leadership of the denomination. And I was in the church session, even though I was a young man in Toronto, in our church session in the Czechoslovak Baptist Church. So when I stepped out of the church, it was a big deal. It was a very big deal. And it took about a month of various meetings in the church. I first met with the session, with the pastor and the session, and there was even a congregational meeting as a result of that. And I was able to speak to the people why we were leaving the church. So it was a very difficult time. I would have to say that was one of the most difficult time periods in my life, having to leave that denomination and that church, and then what followed. My father wrote me a very hard letter. He was very much against what I did, and he said that I did foolishly and that I was rash in doing what I did. But it pays to obey the Lord, to honor the Lord. And the Lord has been very good to our family. I have a big family. I have 5 children. Maybe I said that to someone and they said, "That's not a big family, brother." We had 8 or 9. I don't know what he said. But I suppose it is a fairly big family. And our children range from 18, 19. My oldest son will be 19 in April. Our daughter Abigail will be 17. And then it goes down. We have 4 boys, 1 girl, Timothy, Caleb, and Levi. Levi is the youngest. He's only 5. So this is our family. The Lord called us to our native land to pioneer a free Presbyterian work. And our primary calling was to our brethren, our former brethren. It really was our primary calling, and the Lord gave many opportunities to minister to our former brethren. Sadly, most of that message was rejected, and people are happy enough to continue on in their own way. Sadly, it is to their own misery, spiritual misery. And so the Lord called us to, first of all, minister to our brethren. The Lord called us from a portion of Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 3. I'll just read a couple of verses, one very well-known verse from this portion. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. The Lord laid that upon our hearts in a marvelous way. The Lord worked in the heart of my wife individually, completely independently from me, not knowing that he was working on her heart and she not knowing that the Lord was working on my heart. And the Lord called us by the same word, by the very same word. That is what the Lord does. The Lord is a great God. And the Lord still calls men and women into his service. So the Lord called us by this portion from Ezekiel chapter 3. But in this chapter of the Word of God, there are some amazing verses which really so applied to our situation. And I'll read at least one other verse from this chapter, from Ezekiel 3, verse 6. And the Lord says here that he is sending his servant, Ezekiel, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. So the Lord really spoke to us through this word. The Lord was sending us to a people that were our own people. In many ways, being in Canada for most of my life, it was a land that I did not know. It was a land that really, in many ways, was not home to me. But surely, historically and originally, it was my home, and they were my people and my father. When communism fell in our country, which was in 1989, 1990, he returned back to our country to minister in the Baptist denomination. And so the doors opened up, the borders opened up again for the gospel, and people were able to return. Many ministers were able to return to the country and proclaim the Lord's word. But sadly, as I said before, most of that was very compromised and new evangelical and ecumenical and all of that. And so the Lord sent us to a land which we in many ways didn't know anymore, but we were closely bound to that land, and we came with the Lord's message for the people of God to return to the faith of their fathers, to the biblical faith. And so this is a little bit about how we got to the Czech Republic, why I speak with a Canadian accent, or Canadian English. I would have so much to say to you. I'll just say a little of the work. I have to say that when we first came back, or just a year before we came back, the church where my father ministered approached me about the pastorate. This had nothing to do with us going back. They could not have known anything. No one knew at that point that we The Lord had spoken to us. So that was very strange, and I was very surprised by that. My father retired from the ministry just a little earlier. And so when the church spoke to me, I really prayed to the Lord and sought the Lord's face, what he would have us do, why. I knew the denomination was very compromised, and so the Lord laid it upon my heart to meet with this election committee of the church and talk with them. And the Lord made it very clear, and you'll be surprised and, I trust, very disappointed at the state of the church when you hear what I have to say. When we met with that election committee, I began the meeting by saying, before we even begin anything else, I wanted to say this to you, just to clear the floor. I will never in any way meet or compromise or cooperate or associate or do anything else in some sort of a joint gathering with the Church of Rome. And we could not get off that subject for 1 hour because they didn't agree with that. Oh, yes, they understood that the Church of Rome had much false doctrine and all of that, but surely a way to minister to them is to work with them and alongside them and be a witness to them. Well, that is not the biblical way. That is not the biblical way. So the Lord made it very clear that we would not go back and could not go back to minister in that church and really any of the churches. And so we came back in a very difficult position. We were really outcasts, so to speak, in terms of our former denomination. And it has been, from a human perspective, a difficult road. But the Lord has been very good to us, very good to us. What is a greater blessing? What can be a greater blessing than when the Lord is working in your life personally? When he's blessing you, even if you end up alone, but you have God, you have everything. You have everything. And then when the Lord takes that blessing and he blesses your family, what greater blessing than when the Lord works in your own home? And so we have known that. We have been very much alone, but the Lord has blessed us personally, and he has blessed our children spiritually. He has worked in their hearts, and it has been good for them in these years that we have been there to lean upon the Lord and to trust the Lord and to seek the Lord, no matter what the cost. So we give the praise and glory to the Lord for working in our home. We have been back in the Czech Republic for 6 years now, and the Lord has, in his own mercy, brought some people to us. We have a little work, mission work, and regular meetings at church ministry. So we have regular Lord's Day, Sabbath Day meetings, morning and evening, and there have been a few people that have come and gone, sadly, because they were not interested in a separated witness. Ultimately, that's what it came down to. But the Lord has brought some others that have become a part of this work. I'll just mention one lady that the Lord saved a year and a half ago. She's a medical doctor, has a young family, two little boys. Her husband is unsaved, but the Lord has done a great work in her heart, and that has been a recent encouragement to us, a great encouragement, because she comes from a non-Christian background, and the Lord has truly turned her life completely around. She is a faithful witness for the Lord. She has many friends in the medical field, and so she witnesses wherever she is. And the Lord has given her a great faith. She is a witness in her own home, to her husband, to her parents. She has suffered much I could say even persecution from her parents, and she has had a difficult time in that sense, but the Lord has strengthened her, and she has been a great encouragement to us. So the Lord has brought some people to the work, and the Lord is working in our midst. I ask you to pray for us, pray for this little work, that the Lord would continue to help us, and that the Lord would use his witness in that land. We are also on Serbian audio. Don't try listening to it because it's in Czech, but it is a witness in our land, and it is being listened to. Here and there, we get some feedback from someone, but we also are aware of the fact that the messages are being listened to and downloaded, and we have a website which also states our position and what we are all about. It is quite well known. It is because of the fact, as I said, my father and my grandfather were very well known, and so our coming back has not gone under the radar. It has been noticed. People are aware of it. And yes, sadly, largely, our work has been criticized, and it is looked upon as an extreme type of work, and extreme stand in a very ecumenical climate. You can imagine that's the way people view it. So that is the position we're in, but the witness is there. The witness is there, and the Lord has used it and has brought even a couple of young men, good men, to the work, and the Lord has brought them out of these compromised churches and works. So we pray that the Lord would speak to the hearts of others. If they mean business with the Lord, if they mean to obey the Lord, that others would come out of these compromised churches and know God's blessing. Know God's blessing. I really believe that. I will speak to you about obedience, and I heard from your minister that he has been speaking about obedience. This is of the Lord, because I had no idea about that. But this is a message the Lord has laid upon my heart in the last few years, and a theme he has really impressed upon my heart. It is so vital to obey the Lord, no matter what the cost, no matter what other people think, to obey the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. So may the Lord fulfill that in our lives, in the lives of our children. May he use them in his service and raise them up to be holy people, faithful to our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we will read God's word from verse 17 to verse 26, 1 Samuel 15, 17 to 26, reading the word of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, holy, eternal word. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before thee as we come to thy word now. And O Lord our God, I pray that thou would use thy unprofitable, poor servant to proclaim thy truth. O Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray that thou would descend upon this meeting and speak to our hearts. O Lord, without thee, our words are nothing. And they will do nothing. And Lord, we pray, come down and speak to us. Me first, O Lord, and the congregation as well. Speak to us. And may this people hear the voice of the Lord today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, an older lady, a missionary, was asked by a minister what her advice would be to a young Christian starting out in the Christian life. And she replied, this old missionary, young man, my advice can be summed up in one word. Obedience. Obedience. Always obey the Lord. Always obey the Lord. There is one simple precept. Very simple precept. In order to live a victorious and blessed Christian life. And that is obedience. Sounds so simple. Sounds almost too simple. Sounds like something we do. But the history of God's people and what we see today proves that obedience has been a most disregarded thing. And obedience is what the Lord desires. What does it mean to obey the Lord? People think they obey the Lord. Often they think, like Saul, deluded. I have obeyed the Lord. But they have not obeyed the Lord. How we need the Lord's Spirit to work in our hearts. To open God's word before us as a mirror. To recognize where we have not obeyed the Lord. To recognize where we are not walking according to the commandments, the precepts, the statutes of the Lord. Oh, how we need the Lord every day. Every day in our walk with him. I remember an old minister who used to speak to the assembly in the Toronto school. He's with the Lord now. He was an old man even then. Faithful servant of the Lord. And very often in the assembly messages that he would give to the young people and to the high school students, he would say, young people, you cannot obey the word of God and not be blessed. And I remember that from him. He would often say that.
You cannot obey the word of God and not be blessed. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that?
Charles Spurgeon says, and I will quote a fair bit from him today, "It has been supposed by many badly instructed people that the doctrine of justification by faith is opposed to the teaching of good works or obedience. There is no truth in that supposition. He who believes in justification by faith, we who believe justification by faith, teach the obedience of faith, the obedience that true faith produces. By faith, Abraham, we read, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. But what is obedience? It means that God's word is law. God's holy word stands. It is unmovable. There are no exceptions. The Lord is king. His will is not to be questioned. His every word is law. It stands. And Spurgeon says, this is not a tyranny. We must believe that God's commands are right and precious and true. His precepts are pure, like fine gold. They're precious. It is an obedience of love, not of terror. It is an obedience of faith, not of dread. Do we truly love the Lord? Then we love to obey him. Do we not? Do we not? Therefore, first of all, the true believer believes in the word of God. Now, that is vital. The true believer believes in the word of God. Again, it sounds so simple. But how many people in practice do as if they did not believe the word of God sometimes? This is where we will fall or stand. If we believe every letter of the word of God and love it and obey it. We believe the word of God more than anything and everything else. God's word is an absolute authority. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It is pure. It is perfect. It can never let us down. It can never let us down. There was a woman some years ago that said to my wife, when she was leaving the mission, leaving the work, that she would sometimes come to me and ask me about a particular thing, and I would simply tell her what the Word of God says. Now, she didn't say any more than that. She simply said that I said what the Word of God said, and that was that. But there was a but behind that. You see, people want something more. Sometimes the Word of God is not enough. The preacher can point to the Scripture and say, this is what you ought to do. This is what the Word of God says. But they want something more. They want something a little different. They prefer a mixture of God's word and some worldly wisdom worldly psychology, philosophy. Saul's ultimate problem was that he didn't believe the Word of God. If he truly believed the Word of God, he would have obeyed it. He would fear not to obey it to the letter. But what Saul brought into the equation was his own wisdom. Was his own wisdom. What sense did it make to destroy everything? Surely at least the best things. That makes sense. Let's preserve the best things. And we'll do the rest. Saul's ultimate problem was that he didn't believe the Word of God. The absolute authority of the Word of God. So therefore, first of all, the true believer believes in the Word of God more than he believes in anything else and everything else. But secondly, when we come to the obedience of the Word of God, we must realize, we must be warned, even from this portion of Scripture, that delayed obedience is no obedience. And so let us think about that. Delayed obedience is no obedience. Saul tried to shift the blame upon the people. That is typical of a sinner. Tries to shift the blame upon someone else. He claimed that the sheep and the oxen were spared for a sacrifice unto the Lord. Perhaps even Agag was spared for a final execution. I believe one of the commentators mentions that. Perhaps he was going to do something great, and he was going to do it in his own way. But the Lord did not ask for that. The Lord gave clear instructions. And so, executing Agag later was disobedience. Delayed obedience is no obedience. That is usually not the way a man sees things, though, does he? As long as we obey in time, surely it will be fine. No. When the Lord gives us His word, we are to obey now. We are to obey now. David said in Psalm 119, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. That's a beautiful verse. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Is that the way it is with us? Do we obey the Lord immediately? The Lord speaks to us and we obey Him. We don't put it off. Delayed obedience is no obedience. Christians who put off duties need to remember this. Spurgeon says continued delay of duty is a continuous sin. That's a good thought. Continued delay of duty is a continuous sin. It's an ongoing sin. He goes on to say, what would you say to your son if you told him to go on an errand and he answered you, I will go tomorrow. Surely you would give him tomorrow in a way that he would not soon forget. If you believe in the living God, if you believe in His word, you will obey Him immediately. You will be quick to do your Lord's commands. When the Lord commanded Abraham to leave his father's house, He did not say that he would think it over, that he would discuss the pros and cons of going in an essay, Spurgeon says, that he would go talk to his father and his neighbors, what they think about it. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord, not knowing where he was going. Let me say to you today, when we are thinking of this second point, delayed obedience is no obedience. Maybe you are outside of the Lord today, outside of the fold of the Lord. You are not saved. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The Lord calls you today. And you should not delay. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Look unto me, not tomorrow, today, and be saved. For I am God and there is none else. There is nothing else. There's nothing else. Only life in God is a life that is a blessed life and a fulfilled life, a life of purpose and true life. Everything else is just a gradual dying. Until you come to know the Lord, you are not living. You are not living. People probably don't like to hear that. But the Word of God says that to us. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. Yes, in our trespasses and sins, but it's deadness. It's not just our spiritual state. It is everything. It is everything. A life without the Lord, even the physical life, is a dying life. It's an empty life. It's a worthless life. According to the standards of God, that is exactly what it is. It's a dying. And until we come to know him, we have never lived. Delay not to obey him. Obey his word. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Oh, may the Lord work in your heart today if you do not know him. Let us continue on. Thirdly, half obedience is no obedience. Half obedience is no obedience. My grandfather was a mighty man of God. He was a mighty preacher and a very bold man for the Lord. And the Lord used his witness in our family, in my life, to really shake me and impact me and to draw me to himself. The Lord used his witness to bring me to himself. And he would often say to us, that is something that I remember from childhood and from youth, he would often say to us, half obedience is no obedience. I remember that from him very well. He was a man who obeyed the Lord fully. It wasn't just something he said. It was something he lived. And I will always remember that he said that. Half obedience is no obedience. It is something that even Abraham somewhat failed in at first. He started from the Ur of Chaldees, but only went as far as Haran and stayed there until his father died. It is a place that was midway between Ur and Canaan. Matthew Henry writes these words, this comment on that portion of Scripture. Many reach to Haran and yet fall short of Canaan. They are not far from the kingdom of God and yet never came thither. That's a powerful statement. Matthew Henry was a mighty man of the Lord. Many reach Haran but fall short of Canaan. They're not far from the kingdom of God and yet never come thither. They never get there. I wonder if there's someone here today. Being here is not far from the kingdom of God, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You have to call unto the Lord for salvation, for redemption from your sin. And the Lord is mighty to save, but you have to call to Him. Oh, you may not be far from the kingdom of God, and you are not sitting here. The Lord calling you now, even from this pulpit. But unless you come to Him, you will never come to the kingdom of God. Oh, may the Lord be merciful. In Judges chapter 1, the Israelites only half obeyed when during the driving out of the Canaanites, they didn't drive them out completely. And as the Lord said, as the Lord warned them, the Canaanites became a thorn in their sides. As the Lord warned them. And here Saul only half obeys the Lord, as we have read. Meditating on this portion some years ago, when I started to think about how much Saul obeyed, I realized that not only did he half obey, perhaps he obeyed 99%. Perhaps he obeyed 99%. If we look at this portion of Scripture, the Lord said that He was to utterly destroy the Amalekites. In verse 3, we read, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, even the animals, camel and ass." Now that is a fearful word. Many people would not like to read something like this. Is that not brutality? Is it not wrong to kill infant? Men and women, flee from the wrath to come. There is a time of a great judgment coming, and there will be no exceptions. Those outside of the Lord will be destroyed. The time of judgment came to the Amalekites. There's a time when it is too late. There's a time when it is too late. For those who have not obeyed and come to the Lord, the judgment of God came to these people. So we read of this instruction to Saul, and then we read in verse 9, "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." It is interesting when you look at this verse. He did destroy utterly everything else but the best of the flocks, of the sheep, and Agag. We don't read of anyone else. Well, that means that Saul fulfilled much of that command He perhaps filled it to 99%. It seems to say that he did destroy even the children, even the infants. He seems to have destroyed most of the Amalekites and what they possessed. But he just kept the best, and he kept Agag. What does that tell us? It tells us that obeying to 99% is not enough. Not just half obey. But if there is anything that we have not obeyed in, it is disobedience. It is disobedience. There is no such thing as just partial obedience. That doesn't count. 99% obedience is no obedience. Maybe you obey the Lord and I obey the Lord to a great degree. But if we don't obey completely, no obedience. No obedience. Do you realize that his 99% obedience is called by God, and it is shocking, rebellion, sin of witchcraft, stubbornness, iniquity, idolatry, rejection of the word of God. It is called all of these things. Can the words of God be any stronger? What you would think is that these words are given to someone who utterly disobeyed. But it seems that Saul did most of what the Lord told him to do. And yet, it is called rebellion. It is called witchcraft. It is called idolatry. It is called a rejection of the word of God. We are not speaking of perfection in keeping the word of God. That's not possible. But a heart's desire to obey the Lord's precepts and commands as fully and as faithfully as we are able. And Saul was able to fulfill this command, but he chose otherwise. I want you to realize the Lord is not calling for perfection. We are not able to be perfect. But he is calling us to obey him as fully and faithfully as we are able. And Saul was able to do that. But he didn't. He didn't. Spurgeon says, if the Lord has given you true faith in himself, you will not be concerned so much about doing a notable thing. A notable thing, as about doing exactly what God would have you to do. That's a powerful thought. Obeying the Lord is not doing great, great things. Really, the heart of obedience is doing the smallest things, the things that others don't even notice. But you do them because you love the Lord. You obey him when no one else is there. No one else will ever know. But the Lord sees. He sees that heart that delights to obey him. Is it the way with us? Do we delight in obeying the Lord? Pay attention to even the smallest parts of the Lord's precepts. The essence of obedience lies much more in the little things than in the great ones. May the Lord help us in that. If we have only partially obeyed, let us not deceive ourselves. Let us not lie to ourselves like Saul. Lie to God. We read in this chapter, in verse 13, when Samuel comes on the scene, we read these words. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. And listen now, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. The first thing that he says, I have obeyed. His own words condemn him, expose him. How people can lie to themselves. Maybe you and I have lied to ourselves sometime about obeying the Lord. Do we really obey him? Do not deceive yourself. And may the Lord help us, because we will deceive ourselves. When the Lord starts to work, that is when your eyes are opened and you see what you are doing, what your life is like, for what it really is. It is only the Lord's grace and mercy when the Lord shows you. Oh, we would deceive ourselves. We would deceive ourselves. May the Lord help us to really see what we are really like and what our obedience is really like. And finally, the last point, questioning obedience is no obedience. Questioning obedience is no obedience. When God called Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went. But when we look at Saul, he resorted to his own thinking. Abraham went. He didn't know. Many things he didn't know. But he went and he believed the Lord. Saul resorted to his own thinking. He went out to do this. But then he decided to follow his own wisdom, his own ideas. What Saul did makes sense to man. According to human thinking, he kept that which was good. Surely that could be profitable. Maybe the Lord didn't think about that. That is really what he was saying by his actions. Maybe the Lord didn't think this through. Is that the way people sometimes think? They do think that way. They do think that way. The Lord's word says this, but I really wonder if the Lord thought of this situation. Well, I hope there's none here that would think this way. May the Lord forgive us if we have ever thought that way. Saul resorted to his own thinking. May the Lord save us from ourselves. We best forget our senses and nonsenses, our own stupidity, foolishness, often drives us to do things that are not according to the Word of God. May the Lord help us to obey him. In verse 19, we read, Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? That is a very important word, because we read here, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Dear friends, let me tell you, there's a big difference between our sight and God's sight. What he thought was good, he looked at it and it was good. Beautiful sheep. Let's save that. According to God, it was evil. Evil in the sight of the Lord. This is so important to remember. Man's sight is skewed. It is distorted. It is flawed. It is faulty. It is limited. It is imperfect. It is completely untrustworthy. That's man's sight. Your sight, my sight, it's completely untrustworthy. Might have looked good to us. If the Lord didn't give this command, we would say, and we had to decide for ourselves, we would do the same. We would keep that which was good. But the Lord did not ask for that. The obedience of the Lord must be unquestioning, because we don't know what the Lord knows. We don't know even a small part of what the Lord knows. And so we need to obey Him fully and do according to His word. A person runs a great risk when he steers himself and will ultimately make shipwreck of his life. If that is what you are doing, maybe you're unsaved, and you will make shipwreck of your life. If you steer your own life and you continue on without the Lord, you will ruin yourself. But Christian, if you are saved and you're not walking with the Lord, and you're depending on your own wisdom and your own strength, you will come to much hurt. You will come to much misery because of that. Oh, may the Lord be our guide. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We sang that hymn. May that be our prayer every day. Spurgeon says, even bad men will obey God when they agree with Him. That is interesting. But good men will obey His commands when they do not know what to think of them. Are you that good man, that good woman? Maybe you don't even know what that really means, why the Lord would have you do this or that, why the Lord says this or that. Oh, the Word of God is so deep. It is so rich. There are many things we have a limited understanding of, but it's God's Word. It's holy, it's pure, it's perfect, it's true. We believe it. Might not understand everything. Surely we don't, but we believe it because it is His Word. A good man will obey His commands. And who is a good man? A saved man. A saved man will obey the Lord even when he doesn't understand. Let me read you just a little more from Spurgeon as we close. This is something we really need to hear today. This mighty man of the Lord, who suffered much because of obeying the Lord and because of taking a stand for the Lord, coming from his mouth, it means that much more. He says, it is not ours to judge the Lord's commands, but to follow them. I am weary of hearing people say, yes, we know that such a course would be right, but then the consequences might be painful. Spurgeon says, there is not much need to preach caution nowadays. Those who are willing to run any risk for truth's sake are few enough. In the last few years, not many people have developed consciences that are tender about the Lord's honor. Prudent consideration of consequences is superabundant, but the spirit that obeys and dares all things for Christ's sake, where is it? What a good word. The Abrahams of today will not go out from the people and surroundings with which they are familiar. They'll not do it. Our Puritan forefathers had little regard for property or liberty when these stood in the way of conscience. They would defy exile and danger rather than give up a grain of truth. But their descendants prefer peace and worldly amusements,
and pride themselves on culture rather than on heroic faith. The modern believer must have no mysteries. He must have everything planned down to a scientific standard. But Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. People today must have every bit of information with regard to the way. And then they will still not go. That is God's servant Charles Spurgeon. And then they will still not go. Oh, how this man opened his heart in what he said here. The frustration seeing the people of the Lord sitting back and not going forward with the Lord, no matter what the cost. Once we have discerned the voice of God, obey without question. If you have to stand alone, if no one will befriend you, stand alone. God will befriend you. May the Lord help us to be an obedient people. We read of Noah that thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. That was another obedient man when it made no sense to anyone around him. May we be like a Noah. May we be like an Abraham. May we be like a David who delighted in the law of God, who loved his law. We read in Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Paul says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He delighted to do God's word, to obey him, to obey him. The Lord says, "My son, give me thine heart." Those who love the Lord will obey him. The Lord Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Keep my commandments. Do we keep his word? Do we love to keep his word? It has nothing to do with our salvation, but it is evidence of our salvation. If you do not live for the Lord, if your life is not a holy life, there is a big question mark about your salvation. I would not want to be in the shoes of a person who calls himself a Christian but doesn't live like one. May the Lord help us to obey his holy word. The love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, may that be the case in our life. To the saints, his commandments are not grievous. All of these scriptures, they're not grievous. We love them. We love to obey them, and we know that those who will obey him will be blessed of God, will be blessed of him. I can testify today that the Lord has been so good to us. Oh, we are unworthy of it. We're undeserving, and our obedience is at best weak and poor. But the Lord knows the heart, and the Lord knows that there is a desire to obey him fully. And I trust that that is the desire you have today. And if you do not know him today, as I said earlier, do not wait. Obey him today in that very first thing. Look unto him and be saved. Believe in him. Believe in him. As the Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Obey him. Obey him when he commands you to do that. Step out in faith. Surrender your life to him. And may you know him as your Lord and Savior, as your guide, as your friend. And may you become an obedient servant of the Lord.
May the Lord bless his holy word to our hearts today, and may his name be glorified in our midst. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'll close in a word of prayer. The pastor asked me to close in a word of prayer, and then he will come up to close the meeting. Let us bow our heads. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. O Lord, we thank thee when thy word speaks to our hearts. It is only so because thy Spirit is working. Otherwise, it is dead to us. Lord, we pray that thy word would speak today, that it did speak, and that it will continue to speak, even as we leave this place, that we would leave in the fear of God, and with thy blessing and thy Spirit, as the voice of man is silent, that the voice of God would continue to speak in our hearts. Lord, bless thy word and make us an obedient people, and forgive us, O Lord, when we have failed and been weak and we have not been as obedient as we ought to have been. Make us an obedient people and bless us, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.